Hey, what's going on? Greetings and good day. Welcome back to Birds All Day. We could not be more excited to be here talking about your Toronto Blue Jays on this, the holiest of days here in 2020. Your 2020 Toronto Blue Jays are playoff bound. Actually, we could be more excited. As you have known, if you listen to this show before, we tend to talk about things that are not just baseball. And this has been a ridiculously, excruciatingly bad week for things that are not baseball, which is to say things that are ongoing around the world. So I don't feel equipped to do the same thing that I've done repeatedly on here because for a million different reasons, mostly because, I don't think that I have the voice today for it. But there are things going on in our country, things going on in the country just to the south of here, things going on around the world that need your attention, that need your passion and your time and your energy and your dedication just as much as the 2020 Toronto Blue Jays do. So it's my hope that we can do that. We can almost find like an equal time sort of situation where, well, we're going to be spending a lot of time on baseball and spending a lot of time on the playoffs and spending a lot of time on everything that really unites us and brought us here in the first place. It's my hope that we can spend an equal amount of time doing some of the other stuff too, finding that passion and energy for the things that are really fundamental to the fact that the things that make it possible for us to do this, to not just serve as distractions, but to serve as maybe a vessel for these kinds of conversations. So that's my little piece for today. I thank everyone for indulging us and indulging me and indulging the show for being what it has been for now here going on 5 years. And the first year that we did this show, the Blue Jays made the playoffs. And now here we are 5 years later and they did it again. And 5 years ago, I started the show. We started the show and there's we, me. My name is Drew Fairservice and I am joined as always by... He joins old me reliable. As always.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. old reliable. Old reliable.
Old reliable, Mr. James Stoughton. Yeah. Stoughton, how are you?
I'm well. Playoffs. Playoffs, baby. You know.
Shout out to Nav Vaswani. Playoffs, ! We're bringing it all back. And speaking of bringing it back, speaking of friends, someone who was on this show in those early days of 2015, and as we were discussing in the before we started to record, the tenor of that conversation was not as rosy as many of us remember much of 2015. It was a dark and dangerous time. But I am so excited. It has been far too long since last we spoke on this show and in real life to your friend and mine, the Dav Steeb. We're so excited. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm glad that Caitlin and Zoobs were otherwise engaged tonight. So
they'll be the cool down from you, the big guest. This is the big get. Of course you read the Dow on Sportsnet. And if you are from way back in the day, you read it on the Blogspot. You knew dowsteeb.blogspot.com was the place to go. And shout out to the dude Ack, the nicest man in the whole world. Who joined the Dow on the blog back in the day, and has just proven to be honestly the sweetest guy I've never even met him, and he's the sweetest man I've ever met. But
I've sat in his kitchen in Winnipeg, and absolutely legitimately a sweet guy, a prince, and frankly a guy who at a point where I was ready to give up the blog. Put some wind under my sails, mostly just by being better at it than I was, and me wanting to write as thoughtfully and as he did. So, prince of a guy,
and he, I hope, is celebrating. He's probably in bed. He's old and washed like us, but he lives in Winnipeg, so it's like, oh no, it's earlier, so he's not in bed. He's up having the time of his life. Just like all the Toronto Blue Jays are celebrating, clinching the playoffs officially. It looked, it never really looked dicey, but there was definitely an element of scoreboard watching. There was an element of just almost like running up the clock. Some might even say they backed in, but they did come back this week in Buffalo and play very well against the Yankees team that has beat their brains in, even though the team's finished with a 5-5 season series, which is very difficult to believe because some of the Yankees wins felt as though they should have counted for two or maybe even three. But you got to think, maybe you gentlemen can take it from here. Obviously, getting in is job one, but the ability to get in now, pretty ideal, as opposed to letting it drag out any longer. Am I wrong in saying so?
I don't think that you wanted to go into Baltimore this weekend and, you know, have to make sure that you won out against those trash birds. And, you know, just like they're awful, and yet it's exactly the sort of team that would just trip you up and beat you three times in a row in a weekend. So, you know, I mean, the Mariners and the Angels have done their bit to graciously allow the Jays to maybe not sweat this out quite as much as they could have, but probably better to get this done now. And frankly, it feels better to go in with a win as opposed to, say, losing and then spending the night waiting for someone else to lose just to really let you back in.
Yeah, I think that would have been terrible to have to, like, you know, to just – we've talked about them backing into the playoffs, and I don't know that they're not necessarily not, even though obviously they've had a good series so far against the Yankees, which looked nice. Vlad Jr. finally making good on his promise. He is he's the guy we expected now, finally. I think we can all agree. You know, those ground balls just inside third base. Can't teach that. But yeah, for selfish reasons, because it just would have made like scheduling our weekend worth of content a real pain in the ass if they hadn't clinched tonight. I think that it's obviously for the better that they clinched tonight. And yeah, as our good friend the Dow here was saying, you don't want to have to face the Orioles and have anything on the line or worry about that at all, or have to keep scoreboard watch. I mean, it's nice to exhale a bit and then, you know, get your bearings. Right? I mean, I think that obviously the sooner the better, really. I mean, they're letting eight teams into the playoffs. I mean, you should have that all sewn up real fast, really.
I think that I am, with the benefit of hindsight, able to look at tonight. So Hyunjin Ryu, of course, started here on Thursday night and pitched the whale of a game. But I think that works out really, really well, because now you have the opportunity to kind of like keep him on a regular interval of rest. You don't have to try to think about, oh my God, are we going to rush him back on Sunday if we needed to win? If you're the Blue Jays and you're desperate to win that game to get in, you don't have to think about, okay, do we send him out for some like weird kind of what's the word I'm looking for? Just like a pointless kind of, okay, we'll let him go pitch three innings against the Yankees in a game that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think that the ability to sort of like just keep the regular motions and the rhythms of the season and the rhythms of being a starting pitcher. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He played for the Dodgers. He plays in the playoffs every single year when he's healthy. So this is nothing new to him, but I am, from the Blue Jays perspective, thinking this couldn't have worked out better in terms of being able to then start him game one against presumably the Rays, on regular rest, maybe with an extra day, or maybe I don't know if it'd even be a day short, but you don't have to worry about him. Anthony Bass pitched a bunch tonight. You can maybe try to shut him down. Some of the other more high leverage guys, you can get them in for a little bit of work if they need it. But you have the opportunity now to sort of, just let the foot off the gas a little bit and sort of start to think, because it's such a three game sprint to the play in the first round, that you'd need to kind of like stack the deck and just load everything up and have everybody ready to go right out of the chute, especially when you're the Blue Jays and you don't have, who starts game two is still a question, and who starts game three is a mystery, you know, in a way.
Yeah. I think we know who's starting game two, but game three, yeah, it's definitely a mystery.
I also think that, you know, now they have the opportunity to like get Nate Pearson to the opposite end. You have a chance to ease Nate Pearson back in. Nate Pearson was of course, activated off the disabled list here on Thursday, while Wilmer Font was DFA'd, to the surprise of few. Who Wilmer Font's not going to be on the postseason roster, I don't think. He was on the list initially. Now he's not in employment. So the opportunity to maybe let Nate Pearson pitch twice, maybe is that too much to ask? Maybe if you can kind of pencil him in on Friday and maybe try to get him in a little bit of work again on Sunday, maybe Friday, Saturday, see how he responds to going back to back. I don't know. I haven't read anything or heard anything or know anything, but I'm just kind of just farting around. I don't know. What do you think? Is this the kind of maybe a break that the bullpen can really benefit from?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that's part of the issue in the last few weeks. I mean, when they were going well, the bullpen really sort of propped them up. But you know, amazingly, even though you have like a 16 person pitching staff, somehow they were still grinding them into dust by the end of the season. So to be able to give them a little bit of a breath and. I do feel like without Font there, I mean, Font was the guy who they sort of went to when, well, we don't want to use anyone that we really care about. So like, let's throw Wilmer in to get some innings. So I mean, it's been such a bizarre year though, just in the way that the pitching has been handled. And I kind of feel like I don't even have any sense of how that this is going to play out. Going into a series, especially a series with Tampa, like I'm fully expecting just absolute bizarro world weirdness coming from the mind of Kevin Cash in those three games. So, but I mean, if they can, I would guess that Pearson maybe gets one go this weekend. I couldn't imagine them putting him in twice over the weekend. I would think like give him one shot and then hold him for a playoff game at this point.
I was going to say that too, because I think like if he goes Friday, Sunday, are they going to go to him in game one again, or is that going to be too much for a guy who's just coming off the injured list, right? Like,
okay, but I guess to be the devil's advocate, start, and I'll put the question right back to you. If you say, okay, we're going to pencil him in, you're going to give him an inning on Saturday, and he comes in and he walks the ballpark, well, then what? Is that it? Is he done? You can't go to him in a playoff game if you can't be sure that he's going to throw the ball over the plate, can you?
I mean, I feel that at some point they will go to someone in a playoff game where they're not sure if he's going to be able to throw the ball in play. That's just sort of the situation there. But yeah, you're right. It just maybe you hope that with Ryu, obviously in game one, you're not going to need the bullpen as much. So maybe they do. But I just think that obviously they have made it very clear all year that they, you know, despite the grinding of certain guys into dust, they're watching the workloads of guys. Quite a bit as well. You know, the guy, I think Pete Walker said this in one of the Zoom calls too, I didn't make a big deal of, or it was subtle, but it was kind of like, well, there are, you know, there's guys we're careful with and there's guys we're less careful with. I don't think he said it quite that explicitly, but I remember picking up on that because it's like, oh yeah, that's true. Like Jacob Wagensback, Wilmer Font, giddy up boys, you're getting big league innings. You should be happy with what we're giving you.
Go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say that, and that's the weird thing about this year. Like, you know, I think that there are these aspects of it that, you know, you're almost looking past this year into the subsequent years, and it's really cool that like this young team with these guys got the chance to, you know, win, and maybe if you put it in quotes to win, you know, whatever, but in terms of the stuff that they can learn about this team and this roster going forward, like the way that they managed the pitching staff this year, you can't do that in a normal season. You can't do it anywhere remotely like the way that they did. So it just, I mean, you know, if you look at what Pete Walker or Charlie Montoya did in managing that staff, like I don't think that you can look ahead to next year and say, with any sort of confidence, whether or not if what they did this year is going to work next year. And maybe we'll get a little bit more of a sense of it when, you know, the games really count, when we're into playoff baseball, to see how they manage it. But man,
yeah, that's something that they've been sort of open about, I think, too. Like, I think Walker in a different Zoom call than the one I was referring to the first time, but that doesn't really matter to anybody, I suppose. But yeah, has sort of talked about how that's, you know, they won't be able to do that. They get the extra roster spots and the condensed games and the short ramp up, that all really changed the way that they were able to use the pitching staff or the way that they looked at it. And I think like a guy like Ross Stripling, like the reason that they would have traded for that guy is because he's a guy who can do what Anthony Kay was doing next year, when Kay and Hatch are guys who are more likely going to be starting in Buffalo, assuming, you know, the minor leagues still exist at that point. Or that the Jays aren't even in Buffalo at that point, which is not out of the question.
Buffalo, Rochester, it's all the same. It's all the same at this point. So I guess that maybe that starts to lead into a bit of the rosterbation kind of question. And I don't want to assume, but I'm sure there'll be some content in your future, Stoughton, that sort of looks this shape. But how do you build out your team for a 3-game series against the cursed Tampa Bay Rays?
Well, we're still not 100% sure it's the Rays. And
true.
I saw you tweet today, and you're absolutely right. Like, it would be, I think most Jays fans would do well to heed your opinion and to believe what you believe, which is that, not to put words in, but like, most people would rather them not have to play the fucking Rays, because, you know, we've seen enough games at the Trop to know that just bad things are going to happen. But it would be extremely satisfying for the Jays to go in and you know, upend the Rays and just ruin their season, which is entirely possible, because this freak show of playoffs that we're doing very much allows that possibility. So I don't know. As far as how the roster gets built, I'm with Buck, who was talking on the TV, or the TV, as I like to say sometimes, this evening. I am from Peterborough. 705, baby. He was talking about Espinal and either Caleb Joseph or Reese McGuire coming up, just to be an extra catcher, which would be, you know, give them the ability to use our boy Locomotive Kirk. You can DH him, you can use him as a pinch hitter, you can pinch run for him, and then still have another catcher on the bench. Like, I think that would just that would be ideal, because obviously you know, that train has is in motion and it cannot be stopped. I don't know. Other than that, I think it's just what you see is what you get. I mean, there's no more Wilmer Font. I mean, he exists somewhere, but not on the Blue Jays roster. Rourke and Anderson probably have no place on the roster. Maybe Anderson does. But I don't know. I it's really at the fringes. You kind of know who you're going to see in game one for sure. I know he said the two's up in the air, but I think that's Walker, who's been really good, even though it's terrifying and it doesn't feel like he's, you know, in control, I feel, a lot. But he's been good. The numbers look good. As long as you don't look at his like FIP or anything that's like more advanced than ERA, then he looks great. I don't know if they're going to get too cute about it, but at the same time, I remember this entire fucking season, so maybe they will.
I'm a little disappointed that the bubble thing won't extend to this wild card round, such that the Blue Jays and Rays will in fact have to play at the Trop. There's a part of me.
You got to incentivize the winning the division, right? I mean, come on.
Well, what I wanted to do was get all like, well, here's what we're going to do with the roster. Like, if the Blue Jays are playing in San Diego, going to need to bring in Jonathan Davis. Someone's got to be able to run around out there, or San Francisco or whatever. None of that shit matters. It's hard to believe that this is the conversation that we're having about Alejandro Kirk, which is, well, can this guy who just came from high A be the DH in the playoffs, even though he's a catcher? And also 5'8 and 260. Like, all these are the serious conversations that are being had. It's crazy. But I mean, the bullpen also is you know, is an interesting question. I saw the Blue Jays brought Chase Anderson out of the bullpen for some mop-up garbage work the other night. Is that just to, is that a prelude to him coming out of the bullpen? Should they need him in a playoff situation? Or is that just like the official sign that maybe he's not going to start any more games for these Toronto Blue Jays?
I mean, these Orioles games mean nothing. But yeah, that could be. He pitched kind of well at first, too. Like he was they were talking about how he maybe had been tipping when he was facing the Yankees before he kind of went. I think he just threw from the stretch exclusively in the second start, and it went much better until it didn't.
The tipping was the fact that on the back of his jersey said Anderson in big letters. So they were like, okay, we don't have to worry about this so much anymore.
Right underneath the giant rosin spot on his hat. Yeah.
Who among us?
I don't know if we want to start to go down the conspiracy road of just how well the Yankees are hitting in Yankee Stadium this year. And you know, quote unquote tipping his pitches, you know, I'm convinced that there's buzzers underneath all of those guys, you know, underneath all of their jerseys at this point. You can't convince me otherwise. I think they're shameless about it.
I'm with you. I feel I brought this up a couple weeks ago, sort of half jokingly, but obviously horrible, filthy cheaters. But also, I think if you look at the Blue Jays home and away splits, it's gonna look like they got something going on in Buffalo. I think they were like 15-8 in Buffalo right now, which is better than they are on the road.
It is. Yeah. It is better than they are on the road. And also, of course, the conditions in Buffalo. The Yankees were whining and moaning about the light and the. Just the last time the Yankees came in, they were complaining about the lights and the experience. And then this week was when Aaron Hicks and Aaron Judge like bricked that Vlad fly ball, yeah. And then he got a triple out of it. So
yeah.
Just delightful. You know, we ran our mouths way too much after the last time the Yankees came to Buffalo, which then of course the Blue Jays went back to the Bronx and were told, taught many a key lesson about what it's like to play the Yankees. But I don't know. So let me just change gears a little bit here. Stoughton, I think you may have already answered this question, so maybe I'll turn to Dow. Is this season now a success because they are the seventh or eighth best team in the American League?
So I think it's a qualified yes. If you were to go back to the before times, if you were to go to like late January, early February and talk about this team and say, you know what, this is a team that's going to end the season, you know, over 500. They'll be in the mix for the playoffs. They'll be playing meaningful games. I think you would have taken that. And especially too, with the idea that it's almost less about this season and more about teaching these young players to win. And I know it sounds kind of trite, but I just don't think that a young player learns anything by going out and playing on a 70 win team. And so for them to go out and to need to play for their screw ups to actually matter. So, you know, for every time that Vladdy somehow ends up, you know, somehow on the left field side of the second baseman fielding a ball.
He's fixed now.
It worked tonight. Tonight he made the play on it. It was like, oh, wow. Hey, this is awesome. Like, I honestly, considering the way that he's playing over there, they should just put him at second base. He wants those balls. So just like let him play second. Like imagine Vladdy around the bag at second, turning double plays. But no, I mean, like for those mistakes or to matter for actually the good things they do to matter, I think that makes such a world of difference for this team going into future seasons. And like, it's kind of cool that this is a bunch of guys who, you know, won in Dunedin and won in New Hampshire and you know, like, talking about culture sounds trite, but like, there's something to it. Like there really is that, you know, I think an organization where there is, a winning positive culture, I think it's easier for people to learn. I think it's easier for people to develop in that. And that's really what this season was
to buy all in, about. To buy in, really. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to get so mad when they have to watch the Rays celebrate. They're all going to get so mad. And that's just going to fuel that fire.
How dare you? see,
who isn't? Everyone should get mad when the Rays celebrate anything.
Yeah, that's true. I bet you the Rays are getting mad when they are celebrating. Like, oh, this means I'm just going to get traded in the middle of the season. I don't want that. This means we have to play more games here. Oh, what a nightmare. I am obviously excited that they've made the playoffs. It's so stupid, but if they had finished second ahead of the Yankees, for example, I would be more excited. I would be more inclined to say the season is a success. If they had just played a little bit better, I don't know. Maybe I'm not giving them their due and not giving them credit for at this stage. The worst they could finish is 500, which is says a lot. But the bad, they could finish, you know, five games over 500. So, and maybe they do, against all odds, you know, reel the Yankees in and finish ahead, which would be hilarious. But I don't even know. They would have to win out, and the Yankees have to lose out, I believe. But I don't know. I just wish that, you know, I would take the success of this season for what it is. But I just wish they had played a little bit better. I don't know. Wide swaths of this short season, like, just really uninspired by the way of the baseball that they played, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm being unrealistic. I wanted them to be better, and I thought that they are capable of being better.
Didn't.
Hmm?
They didn't, right? Like, at the start, I remember writing about Charlie Montoyo being like, you know, it's player development in the big leagues, and were really guarded about talking about any sort of aspirations of being anything except, especially, you know, especially Montoyo in his Zoom press conferences or whatever, because the players were like, yeah, we could do this, but, you know, obviously, if you're a player and you don't think that, irrational as it may be, you're probably not going to have a great year, right? But like, but they seemed like they were really, like, not skeptical, but just like, when, especially early in the season, when Montoyo's decisions were sort of really under the microscope about the, you know, bringing Shun Yamaguchi in the 10th inning for his debut and then like doing it again, even though the first time it was a disaster. And like, just the way the bullpen was being managed and stuff that went right. It was kind of like, they're like, we're just out here to have fun this year. And it was really frustrating at the time. Because, you know, you can sort of objectively look at them and the gift that they'd been given, which is the fact that there were 8 playoff spots up for grabs in the American League. You could look at it was like, no, you idiots, like, you should be playing to win. And they very much, even until this month, really have been like, that's not what they're, you know, they're about one day at a time, and they're about development, and they're not really thinking about that, and clearly just to not put undue pressure on the team, which I think is probably smart. But also, they very much were ready to to defend themselves against that criticism by saying, well, what, like, we can't manage, like, it's the 7th game of the World Series, like, this is just sort of a development year. I think it's a success.
Yeah, and you know what? Like, they played really ugly baseball at times. They were a janky, flawed team. I mean, baseball's full of flawed teams. This one had some pretty profound flaws to it at times. But, you know, I mean, I cut them a little bit of a break in that, you know, like they didn't have a home ballpark for the first couple of weeks for the first 2.5 weeks of an 8-week season, they didn't have a home ballpark. So they were off on a long road trip. And the other thing too, like I just think about some of the stuff that we were driving ourselves crazy about. Like I spent an evening on Twitter defending Teoscar Hernandez from people who are ready to, you know, to DFA this guy because he bobbled a ball in some crappy lights. And yeah. It's like, you know, like he bobbled a ball. It cost him the game. Like, so what? Tomorrow is another game. Like, so it's, they need to, if they want to become a better team, they're going to need to tighten a whole bunch of that stuff up. And from, I mean, Danny Jansen's game calling, which, you know, I'm not an expert, but it just doesn't seem like that's something that's working really well to, you know, the defense. I mean, the base running, I like to watch guys run with abandon, but I don't like watching guys run into stupid outs and you know, even that I guess got better towards the end of the year. So I cut them a bit of a break, but I mean, yeah, it was like I get, Drew, why it is that you could kind of look at this and say, like, this was not aesthetically pleasing baseball team to watch this year.
I've been, as you two have been speaking intelligently and making reasonable points, I've been trying to think of like an analogy, and I was started out thinking about an analogy of like a poker analogy, where it's what you would call bankroll management, where you've got X number of dollars that you have to like live and play with for a long period of time. And when things are going badly, it's all about like cutting your losses and managing your bankroll and not like pissing it all away in a day sort of thing. And I feel like in a lot of ways, this season has been that from a player development perspective, from a team building perspective. You know, you can't read too much into what you would see in this crazy year for all the reasons that you two have listed. You know that guys are going to get overworked. You've seen great moments from Anthony Kay and then Tom's Hatch and Baruchy and whatever. And then you've seen, you know, or even the other guys, like Bass and whomever else, you know, they're not unhittable monsters who are going to go three up, three down every time out, but you know, they start to wobble. So then you kind of shut them down because you can't just keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing and trying to like force it to happen, which I think that would be reckless. And I agree. So then if say the Blue Jays, were more aggressive, even more aggressive at the trade deadline, they made a lot of like low risk moves at the trade deadline and some that have worked out really well. Obviously, Taijuan Walker, you do that trade every day, you know, twice on Sunday, as they say. So I think that maybe I need to remember that. I need to remember that this season is so much just about like persevering and getting through and not overcommitting and not burning anybody out. The team could have been better if some of the flyers that they took on the Tanner Roark's and the Chase Andersons and whomever else of the world.
That's an expensive flyer on Tanner Roark.
Well, you know what I mean, but like but yeah. they paid him to be a slightly better version of this, and he was not really eating innings and he wasn't effective, so it was kind of like he was doing nothing. Where if he was even just able to eat some more innings and take a bit of a load off the bullpen, then that would be a kind of job done. And maybe the value of a guy like him becomes more clear when he's happily going out and getting his brains beat in for 4 or 5 innings, you know, 30 times, especially when there's a lot more lower leverage games and lower leverage outings in the mix, as opposed to being like, boy, the Blue Jays sure need a win. Here comes Tanner Roark, hoping to manage to keep his skin on for most of the game until they have to go to another reliever whose arm is hanging on by a thread and the jersey is the only thing keeping it attached. So I need to remember those sorts of things that they still did. They obviously, when they went and they signed, you know, Hyunjin Ryu, that was a big move. That was a sign that they wanted to take this year seriously, I think. So it's kind of a little bit of both, right? He was there to make the team better, right? He wasn't there to lead. He's not there to like teach the younger guys. He's there to be make the team better. That's what you pay a guy like that for. You can have your senior vibe correspondent or whatever they were, whatever Caleb Joseph is calling himself. Like those guys are free. You don't give $80 million to the cheerleader, right? The cheerleader and Zen pitching coach. So the expectation was the team was going to be better a little bit, I think, but they definitely couched that in with a lot of hedges, with a lot of not overcommitting and not asking telling the young players, like, you're here to win now. This is the part where you do the winning. So I don't know. Maybe I'm a little bit unfair in my demands that they just finish ahead of the Yankees. It's not just finish ahead of the Yankees. Finish ahead of someone that is a good team. They could well finish ahead of the Astros in the standings, which is no mean feat, but they'll still be behind them in the playoff seeding because of the way that all that works. So I don't know. I just would...
I think that's fair. Just finish ahead of a good team would make you feel better. But they had the Astros. You do have
the Astros. Yeah. Maybe if they had been really serious, they could have gone out and spent $330 million on Anthony Rendon. And I'm sure that would have absolutely guaranteed them playoff baseball. So,
I don't know if anybody knows this, but in 14 games with the Brewers, Dan Vogelbach's worth like a fucking half win. He's got like 181 weighted runs created plus right now during his Brewers stint. He's been like nuts. Missed out. They really blew it, frankly.
If the Blue Jays had signed Anthony Rendon, I would not have been mad also. which is not what you were saying, but
no.
All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with some more Birds All Day. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually, we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like, I lost my mojo. Or we avoid it altogether with excuses like, I had a long day at work, or, sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to getroman.com/Toronto and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. So go to getroman.com/Toronto today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's getroman.com/Toronto.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I guess the question is then what comes next? So if this is a mild success, obviously beating the Rays is like a cherry on top. If that's what happens, if they do face the Rays and they do win, despite what Stoughton thinks, then it's real. If they get past a wild card round, then it's real. Then I'm 100% all in. I obviously will have a great time. We'll be watching playoff baseball. So I guess maybe that's the question: Is did they really make the playoffs?
Well, before we answer that, first of all, they already had a third baseman, so they couldn't sign Rendon. Let's make that clear.
That also put a bitter taste in my mouth. That ruined the year. I was like, he's playing first base. Come on.
Can I just go one last time and beat to death this thing about putting Vladdy at first, which, you know, I'm rooting for him to actually figure that out at some point. But again, everyone wanted him off of third and onto first. And it's like, okay, so let's take his best attribute, which is his arm, and basically negate it. And let's take his worst attribute, which is his feet, and emphasize it. Let's see how that's going to work out. I don't know. To me, that's still just, in this year, I don't know why they wouldn't have just let him go at third, but maybe it was because he came back with less than ideal conditioning to be generous. So anyways,
that's how I put it on my Tinder profile, less than ideal conditioning.
I don't think there's any doubt that he came to camp or returned to camp in such abysmal physical condition and looked so rough over there that they were like, this cannot happen. We can't put him out there. How bad, what must he have looked in their warm, when their workouts and then the inter-squad stuff that they were like, oh Jesus, God, no, this is it. This is the one. Now we've broken glass in case of emergency.
So do you think there's no chance he goes back? I don't expect it, but maybe. I don't know.
Well, it depends on how he hits. If he continues going 3-for-4 with a home run and 2 like laser beam singles every game, he can do whatever he wants. He can go play. He can just be the everyday
D. Keep hitting it through guys. Yeah.
Hit it through them at 115 miles an hour, whatever it might be. Okay. Well, if not the Rays, then are you rooting for the Blue Jays to face the Rays? Dow, would it not feel that much more satisfying to get in there and even just take one? Even just put a beating on Tyler Glasnow.
I would really be like, it would be immensely satisfying for them to beat the Rays. I mean, maybe more so than any other team, just given what the Rays have done to them over the last, more than a decade. I mean, I remember hating the stupid Rays and their stupid green uniforms, you know, and Aubrey Huff. I hated Aubrey Huff before it was popular to hate Aubrey Huff.
Before you knew why you hated Aubrey Huff. You could just tell that you hated him.
Yeah, but I mean, it would be great to beat them. And, you know, to the earlier question about, like, is this really the playoffs? Well, when they're lined up and against the Rays and every pitch matters, it's going to feel like the playoffs pretty quickly, I think, for us. So, you know, if it turns out to be, I mean, I think the other alternative at this point is maybe the Twins. And I mean, you know, I would be happy if they beat anyone, but I would be certainly very satisfying to go into the Trop and to take 2 games away from the Rays.
Yeah, I know nobody needs them to beat Josh Donaldson, who plays for the Twins, if you may remember. I do like the idea of it, you know, being of getting a central division or getting an opponent from another division, just because I have literally no idea who's on the White Sox except for, you know, the 7 or 8 really, really good guys that they have.
Like, really good.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I have not watched a White Sox game this season to my detriment. I'll get around to that in the playoffs. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's all gravy. All I want really is that there isn't a Charlie fucked right fucked up so badly that he cost them a playoff series narrative on the other side of all this, which I know people are very not itching to embrace, but will readily embrace it should there be any hint of Charlie did something just completely insane, and that was it. And I don't feel I'm a great Charlie defender. I just try to be a little bit human about some of the stuff that goes on. But that would leave a bad taste in my mouth. It was just like,
I am excited to watch postseason baseball with the Blue Jays in it. I am not excited to watch Charlie Montoyo manage a game to within an inch of its life. I won't lie.
That's kind of what I mean, yeah.
Go ahead.
I mean, and the question is, you know, to what extent is, you know, are you going to sense that, you know, this is Charlie calling this, or is it, you know, is it coming from the front office or the high performance or wherever it is? Like, I mean, at this point, getting into a playoff series, is he, you know, is he allowed to manage it, you know, without all that information, or is there like nine times more information? And at that point, they're just totally all over the top of him. I mean, I think that Charlie's role there was basically to be an executor for, you know, what the front office wanted to do. Although the Bunts, kind of makes me wonder about that. But I don't know. You know what? Like all things told, like they got through the season. Like the season is, you know, like there, it was a 50-50 proposition that this baseball season was even going to like conclude at a certain point. Like there was a weekend where I think we were all kind of like looking at it, and the Cardinals had played four games, and half of the Marlins were off on COVID bed rest, and you know, and out of all of that, they've managed to conclude it. They didn't do it in a bubble because, like, logistically, they just could not have. I'm just happy that there's going to be baseball this October, because it's going to be a long winter of just staring at nothing but football highlights.
And the ongoing collapse of Western society as well. That will be a delightful backdrop to the baseball offseason. There's a part of me that I think you've touched on something that's really key, which is I feel like, especially the first round, is three games. So I feel like the Ross Atkins, in my mind, there's a scenario, there's a scene playing out in my mind where we're like Ross Atkins calls Charlie Montoya into his back of his truck or wherever that's parked in the parking lot out front of Salem Fields, and he says, Charlie, we're in the playoffs, just fucking let it go. And there's no more, you know, the high performance department is not informing decisions. They're not saying this guy can throw this many pitches. It's like, just go out and manage the game and see if we can fucking win. And maybe Charlie Montoya isn't exactly the guy I want to give those that like rousing speech to, my second rousing speech of the day. There's a part of me that just says like, okay, it's the playoffs now. Just go, like, just go and win. Just like, no more fucking around. If you got a bunt, don't, but you'll still do it anyway. If you want to let Hyunjin Ryu throw 115 pitches, he's 34 years old. He can manage. Like, just go and do it. And I think it would almost be refreshing. And again, this is something a scenario that I've concocted in my own mind, but I really hope that it's close to real life.
I feel like you're really setting yourself up for disappointment.
Aren't I?
Yes. I wish that things were better, or if not better, then at least perfect. And then maybe they turn out to be slightly less so.
Listen, I just said Charlie Montoya go out and win us a ball game. Things are not perfect. Things are pretty fucking far from perfect. If that's the scenario that I've dreamt up, but I don't know. Stone, do you think that they're still going to be, you know, like two hands on the till, tiller, so to speak? Like, are the puppet strings going to get cut in October?
I don't think so.
No, you think it's the same deal? Same, you know, iPads up in the high performance department issuing the pitching changes and telling how it's going to work?
I do. Then, yeah. Why wouldn't it be?
Look, when Josh Palacios gets pulled in as a pinch runner in Game 7 of the ALCS, you know, we're gonna know this is Charlie. This is Charlie, like, you know, what he can be, what he will be, you know, as he becomes the greatest manager in Blue Jays history.
Amazing.
I mean,
I think
that's correct. He will be the greatest Blue Jays manager in history. I also like to point out, which just because I tweeted about this the other night and it inspired a lot of hate, which is always good, is that now Ross Atkins has passed Alex Anthopoulos as the Blue Jays general manager with the second most amount of playoff appearances. So we should all celebrate that.
I am. Can you hear me celebrating?
Yeah, it sounds like it. Well, you seem like you don't really feel that this is a real playoff berth, which I got to tell you, it is. And after I tweeted that, there were a bunch of people who were like, you know, like asterisk kind of people. And I'm like, well, yeah, they did. They expanded the playoffs. They did that in like 1969 too. So apparently Pat Gillick needs a bunch of asterisks, because like, except for the times they, you know, won the most games in the division. Right.
Look, like, all that you can aspire to in life is to be marginally better at your job than Gord Ash was at his for however many years he was the GM.
Yeah. JP Ricciardi almost got there. But I think I don't know if he was marginally better or not.
I don't think that the 2020 Blue Jays aren't as good as the 2006 Blue Jays. There's a take for you. Does that matter? Not even a little bit.
Let me ask you, the simulations, 10,000 sims. Let's see who comes out on top.
Love, who's been screwing with this thing? Did did the Orioles make the playoffs in 2016, for example?
Yeah,
sure they did.
For marketing purposes, absolutely they did.
No, they did not. They didn't do shit. They played a game. They played a play-in game. They didn't make the playoffs.
Came dangerously close to winning that game.
Shout out Ubaldo Jimenez. Ubaldo Jimenez retired this week. Just four scant years after Edwin Encarnacion unofficially retired him. Which is a terrible thing to say about Ubaldo Jimenez, who was a very good pitcher, made a lot of money and played for a long time, but that was one of the worst pitches that's ever been thrown in the history of the league. And I was just delighted to be watching it at home, banging on my couch with absolute delight.
I was at a Gabby's, and I still enjoyed myself, believe it or not.
Against all odds.
Yeah. I fell off my couch, and I made a sound that was like somewhere between a laugh and a shriek and a yell. And I don't think that I could ever like replicate that, but it kind of hurt after I made it. But anyways, I don't think I made that sound again until the five bouncer buzzer beater of Kawhi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just that sort of absurd joy of a moment. And I'm hoping that we see something like that this year.
What Randall Grichuk hauling that ball in on tonight here wasn't doing that for you.
I felt like I was going to barf when that one came off the bat. So
shout out to Randall Grichuk, making me look good for defending him as being a good outfielder with a capital G. The finest praise you can issue to any Blue Jays outfielder is like, well, at least he's good. Here's hoping that we can get some indelible images like that Edwin Encarnacion home run that happened in the precursor to the playoffs, or like even the Josh Donaldson dash, I believe it is referred to, scrambling home from second base, the very heads up play at the expense of the accursed Texas Rangers, who are not going to be in the playoffs now or anytime soon, because fuck them. I'm excited for that to happen. And I'm excited, despite my better judgment, I'm excited that we were able to be joined by the Dallas Deep here on Birds All Day. Thank you again, my friend, for taking the time. Tell the people where they can find you, where they can read your work, and when they can follow your tweets as well.
Yeah, the tweets are the work now, I feel like. It's
I hear that.
Dow of Steve. You can find that. Just I probably am sneaking into your feed one way or another anyways. So on sportsnet.ca, actually I do have something coming up this weekend, so hopefully I haven't used all my A material for the moment, because I probably should have saved some of that for what I still have to write for this weekend. But sportsnet.ca, otherwise just find me sort of mindlessly sending stuff out into your doom scroll of Twitter that is usually some semblance of positivity. I like to be a happy fan out there, and I don't like to engage too much with the not happy fans. So
I said those that very point, and I feel very fortunate that my almost all my interactions and engagements are I relish them. I don't have a lot of shitty idiots who show up in my mentions. I was tweeting at Ben Nicholson Smith the other day, and just an absolute trail of trash through his replies. just one subhuman monster after another. And I was glad that I don't get that. Now that maybe that's because I am, I don't know, for whatever reason. Thank you. Thank you, Dow, for joining us. Thank you to the people who listen to this, people who interact with me on Twitter. Maybe it's just because I'm just such a swell guy. I don't know. Stoughton, what do you got coming up for Blue Jays fans the world over on The Athletic?
I've got something on Danny Jansen, had his little breakout there, and he's in a weird spot, obviously, in his career, which is sort of maybe more forward looking than you'd expect at a time when the Blue Jays have backed their way into the playoffs. But Jansen is an interesting guy. The catching position talent is scarce. The Jays got a guy who looks okay, and yet I don't know. Basically, give Danny Jansen a little more time. He'll be okay. And then, you know, it's really just, you know, reacting, whatever's going on in the moment. It's playoffs, baby. You know, it's all about this next week. We're going to see what the hell happens. It's going to be fun. No expectations and just, interesting baseball. And I don't know, it would be great to see the Blue Jays make a little run. For beating Tampa, not just because they've never lost a playoff game in Arlington, where the World Series will be held.
You love to see it. You love to think about the Blue Jays Padres World Series and all of the TV executives at Fox and the MLB mothership just like jumping out of windows and stuff.
It'd be like a Stars Lightning Stanley Cup final for the people at Rogers, probably.
Yikes!
The fine people at Rogers is
the fine people at Rogers. Who, honestly though, like no joke. We were talking in the group chat the other day. Like, who's watching hockey right now? I don't know. Not anybody that I know. If you want to read what Stoughton writes on The Athletic, you can pay to do that, because that's what you got to do. You got to subscribe to The Athletic. And if you haven't already, right now there is a special deal going on for $1.25 a month. Hook it up. TheAthletic.com/birdsallday is the place that you're going to want to do that. You can, of course, subscribe to the show on your podcast catcher of choice, whether you subscribe to The Athletic or not. I think you should go and do it. But if you don't, that's cool too. You can go to Apple Podcasts. You can go to Spotify. You can go to Stitcher. You can go to Overcast. Wherever you do podcast things, go and get it. Go subscribe. Hit us with a like. Hit us with a rating. That would be awesome. Follow the Dow on Twitter. Follow Stoughton on Twitter. You can follow me. You can read the newsletter that comes out sometimes. Man, it sucks trying to get one of those out when you just want to do anything else. But you've committed to doing it, and you work all day, and you've been at the hockey rink, and it's so cold, but you're wearing a mask. Nothing is right. Subscribe to the show. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Enjoy the playoffs, quasi or otherwise. No matter what I think about it, the number one thing is that you can go out and have the time of your life, and hopefully we have more playoff games to talk about. I have a feeling, Stoughton, we haven't talked about this before, that we'll be doing another one of these sooner rather than later.
Exactly what I was about to say. Yeah, we might get one in before the festivities start. Hopefully we'll all appreciate it a little more than maybe we do right now.
And appreciate everything you have, and appreciate the privilege that you have. If you do have someone you listen to this, reflect on it and try to spread that around and put your privilege in a position where it can benefit those who don't have it. We live in a really fucked up world sometimes, so it can, like the Dow said, the doom scroll can really get you down. And I really think that if we just doing something can help. And so can watching playoff baseball, which is what you, as a Blue Jays fan, are going to do next week. And we'll talk to you then on the next edition of Birds All Day.